Okay, so precipitated withdrawal. When patients receive naloxone in the context of a full opioid agonist use or an overdose, they are generally put pretty immediately into precipitated withdrawal as the naloxone knocks the full agonist off of the mu receptor. As I mentioned in the pharmacology discussion, buprenorphine has the potential to have a similar effect in displacing a full agonist from the mu receptors. Buprenorphine can precipitate a similar type of precipitated withdrawal to naloxone. This is sort of the big fear of both patients who are not currently in withdrawal about starting a partial agonist like buprenorphine, and also it's sort of the concern of a lot of providers in starting patients on buprenorphine, as it can start a precipitated withdrawal. It's hard to manage. It's hard to get the patient comfortable. With that said, the literature right now mostly shows precipitated withdrawal in lower doses of buprenorphine. So most of the cases reported are between 2 and probably 8 milligrams. I have seen some reports up to 12. But generally speaking, it's sort of that low to moderate dose buprenorphine that's commonly associated with precipitated withdrawal. I will link an article about the factors associated with complicated initiations at the on the website. The thing that I think gets lost a little bit with buprenorphine and precipitated withdrawal is the sort of the fact that one of the best treatments for precipitated withdrawal that is precipitated by buprenorphine is giving more buprenorphine. So you see sort of this biphasic response in buprenorphine where like a very, very low dose, like my doses of less than a milligram, do not precipitate withdrawal while there's still an agonist on board. And then doses that are quite high, above 12 milligrams, some departments are giving up to 24, 32 milligrams as an initial dose, also don't seem to precipitate as much withdrawal. I'm again not a pharmacist or chemist, but the way I conceptualize this is that when the buprenorphine is given, it knocks the full agonist off the receptor, but the goal is sort of to get enough buprenorphine in the system that it fully saturates those now vacated receptors. It's not going to fully bind the receptors. It's not going to produce the euphoria, but it also doesn't leave these receptors completely empty if given in sort of sufficient doses. This is why I talk so much about the safety and the respiratory depression of buprenorphine, because I think the two concerns we sort of navigate at the same time are how do we dose enough to either prevent or treat precipitated withdrawal if we cause it without causing respiratory depression. But as I mentioned earlier, buprenorphine, especially as a sort of a monotherapy without alcohol, without benzos, does not cause a clinically significant respiratory depression, particularly in patients with opioid tolerance. So it's reasonable, it's safe to give repeat doses of buprenorphine should withdrawal symptoms develop. I will link a few papers talking about management of precipitated withdrawal with buprenorphine as well. This seems to be a pretty effective strategy. So, with all that in mind, for the ED, like I said, there are a couple of different strategies for initiating patients on buprenorphine. There's a little bit of complexity as far as what type of patient and what sort of doses and what substances they're on prior to initiation. But in general, I am of the opinion that most ER providers are not going to have time to learn 6 different dosing strategies for a medication that we don't use very often. So, again, while I try not to fall into the pitfall of when all you have is a hammer, everything's a nail, I do think if emergency providers are going to learn one thing that will work for most patients, I advocate for a high dose buprenorphine initiation in the emergency department. And I think if you're going to commit to it, you learn how to do it well, and you learn how to manage anything that goes wrong. And I think the efficacy and safety of that is good. And I think it's the most broadly scalable approach. It's the way that we're going to get the most providers treating the most patients and therefore reducing the most harm.